With you tonight. I'm going to continue what we were ministering on this morning, and we're talking about some things that the devil cannot do. Ten things that Satan cannot do. And I want to read our text tonight from 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. I mentioned to my wife, I thought it was kind of warm in here. She said it wasn't, so I guess everybody's happy. I guess I'm having a hot flash or something. I don't know. But praise God. Amen. But anyway, we'll get through this evening. Amen. A familiar passage of Scripture. Be sober. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? And this is what we are supposed to do because we have an adversary. Because there is an adversary or an enemy that is out there. And he's seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking somebody. He's seeking the one that he doesn't have. And we've got to make that a determination that he's not going to get us. But this is the way we have to handle the situation. Because there is an adversary, we have to resist him. Peter said, whom resist? Resist him in the faith, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And then in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, the Apostle Paul said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. That word devices refers to the plottings and the schemings and the plannings that Satan has. The way his maneuvers and the way that he works against us as children of God. So the Bible tells us to be aware of our enemy, that we have to know our enemy, and we have to know how he works. Thank God that even though, you know, we're fighting this spiritual warfare and this we have this spiritual enemy that comes against us, but the good news of it is that we have not been left defenseless by the Lord in this battle. He has given us weapons of warfare. He has given us the way. He's given us means whereby we can always be victorious in every conflict that we have with the enemy. There should never be a time. And I know there are times that that Christians lose a battle. And that's not the Lord's fault when that happens. You may lose a battle here and there, but you don't have to lose the war. Are you with me? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has already won the war. He's already defeated the powers of darkness. So there are times that because of our own ignorance or what we fail to do, we sometimes lose maybe a battle here and there. But you know, the thing about it is, if you get knocked down, the thing is you don't stay there. The Bible says that a just man falleth seven times, but he rises up again. So, it's not the fact that sometimes you might get knocked down. The thing is, you don't ever stay down. We get knocked down, but we don't get knocked out. There's a difference there. Amen? There's a difference there. Praise God. Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians, I believe it was chapter 4, about we are persecuted but not forsaken. And one translation says that we are knocked down, but we're not knocked out. We are pressed, but we're not pinned. Paul there was referring to a wrestling match in that particular instance. We're pressed, but we're not pinned. And there may seem times, and I know Howard and Janet's son Matt, he wrestled in high school. There's times it looks like you're going to be pinned. But have you ever seen somebody just almost get pinned and then just do a reversal and they're out of that thing and the thing just turns around? They were on the bottom, but now they're on the top. And you know, that happens a lot of times in our lives as Christians. It looks like the enemy has got us. We're down for the count. We're going to be pinned. But I'm going to tell you what, if you won't give up, if you won't stop, the devil can't pin you. He can't knock you out. You might get knocked down, but you just get right back up again and you dust yourself off and you say, praise God, I know that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He always causes us to triumph and overcome through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's good news tonight. Amen? Amen. But the devil would try to have us to believe that he can just do anything that he wants to do. And as I mentioned, he is really quite an unimpressive foe. Satan is a created being. He's a fallen angel. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He can't read your mind. He doesn't know what you're thinking. The only way the enemy can know what's going through your mind is if you react to what he puts there. Amen. Once you begin to react to what Satan, the thoughts that Satan puts in your mind, then he knows he's getting to you. If you don't react to it, then he doesn't know. He can't read your mind. He's not omniscient. He does not have the gift of word of wisdom or word of knowledge. Those are spiritual gifts. God is the only one who knows everything. He's the omniscient one. And so, as we said, the devil is not some all-powerful equivalent to God. He was a created being. He was an angel of God. He was a powerful angel of God. But through his sin and his trying to overthrow God, he was cast down out of heaven and put in a place, in the place where he is now. Now he is the prince and the power of the air today. The scripture talks of him, speaks of him of being the prince and the power of the air. Jesus said of him that he's the prince of this world. Paul referred to him as being the God of this world. And we know that he does what we see going on in the world today, all of the mayhem and the killing and the war and the terrible things that are going on in the world today are not things that are the will of God, not things that are caused by God, but those are things that are being caused by the devil, by Satan. But there are some things that he can do. But as I mentioned this morning, when it comes to the child of God, we're dealing with, you know, Satan can have his way in the life of the unbeliever. Satan can just have his way in the life of those who don't know Jesus Christ and those who are in the world, those who are serving him. But it's a different story when it comes to us who are saved and who are children of God. The devil would have us to think and have us to believe that he could do anything that he wants to in our life. But for every dozen things that the devil maybe can do, there are two dozen things that he cannot do. He is not all powerful. He is not all knowing. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time like God can. God is omnipresent. He's here. He's everywhere. There's no place that you can go or that you can run or you can hide to escape the presence of the Lord. He is everywhere. He's omnipresent. The devil's not that way. The devil is an angel. He's a fallen angel. He can only be in one place at one time. However, he does have a third of the angels that fell from heaven with him, that work with him, that are principalities and that are powers, the Bible refers to, that are rulers of the darkness of this world. He also has an untold number of demon spirits that he that are under his control and that do his bidding. And so there are demon spirits everywhere that are working for Satan and in his behalf to afflict and to torment and to wreak havoc in the world. But he can't be everywhere. He can't be everywhere at the same time. Amen? So the enemy, for the most part, when it comes to the enemy, he is a supernatural being. But when it comes to the child of God, for the most part, he is a deceiver. He is a bluff. Because the fact is that Jesus Christ has already defeated him. And your heavenly Father is far more powerful and far more and far greater than Satan ever was, ever will be, or ever hope to be. And there's just the fact is that there are some things that Satan cannot do to those who are in Christ Jesus and covered by the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? Now, we talked about the first thing was that the devil cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus. So we've got to stay under the blood of Jesus. The second thing is that the devil, and we talked about it this morning, that the devil cannot be like God. He desires that. He is a God wannabe, but he cannot be like God. That just chaps him to know that he can never be like God, but God has picked us up, hallelujah, and cleaned us up and given us the righteousness of Christ and made us sons of God and put his divine nature on the inside of us. Amen? He's made us sons and daughters of God, and the devil can't stand that. That's one reason the enemy hates us so much, is because of what God has done in our life. I think I made the statement maybe a week before last that, you know, the enemy, his desire is to get at God. He's an arch enemy of God. But since he cannot get to God, what he does then try to do is to get to God's children, God's people. And so that's why we face the attacks that we do of the enemy. But Satan cannot be like God. He tried that, but God cast him down out of heaven. And God said, "You shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And so that was the end of that. And we'll find out in this series of message, these messages, we'll find out the end that is set for the enemy. And of course, we all know what that is. We finished up this morning by talking about the fact that the devil cannot resist the name of Jesus. He can't penetrate the blood. He can't be like God, and he cannot resist the name of Jesus. God has highly exalted Jesus. God has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So in three realms, the Bible said Jesus, the name of Jesus has authority. In the realm of heaven, in the realm of humanity on earth, and in the realm of under the earth or in the demonic realm. So we need to understand that. The name of Jesus has power and authority in the demonic realm. Satan cannot resist it. He cannot stand against it. So take the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. So we need to take the name. Use the name. He's given us his name. Prayer must be offered in his name. Demons are cast out in his name. The sick are prayed over and healed in his name. Amen. All the power of heaven is behind the name of Jesus, and everyone everywhere will bow to that name. Amen. Because Satan cannot resist the name of Jesus. Now the fourth thing, and I want to talk to you tonight, and I won't hold you long, but the fourth thing that the devil cannot do, and I love this. If you want to look at Romans chapter 1, turn to Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Here's something very important that Satan cannot do. He has tried it and tried it and tried it, but it's impossible for him to do. And that is the devil cannot stop the power of the gospel. I said the devil cannot stop the power of the gospel. Romans 1:16, and I love this verse of scripture, says, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." Oh, hallelujah. You can stop right there and have a camp meeting. "For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now, Very few people actually realize that the gospel itself is the power of God. But is that not what the scripture says? That the gospel of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ and Him crucified, is the power of God. And there's very few people that realize that. When we think about the manifestation of the power of God, most people think that God's power just falls at special times, certain times, and that the power of God just moves into service occasionally. Now, we've had some of those services. The past, out of the last four Sundays, two of those Sundays have been extraordinary moves and workings and demonstrations of the power of God, of the glory of the Lord. God has given us a special visitation of His Spirit. And I tell you what, I like that. God works and moves and does things in those services. But we have that occasionally. And I believe we're going to see more and more of those times. But when that happens, those are special times when the Spirit of the Lord falls and the power of the Lord is manifested in God's house. People are saved and delivered and healed and set free. And those are special times. And we say, boy, and here's what we say. Here's what we say. Boy, we had a great service today. The power of God was there and there wasn't even any preaching. And there are times that happens. And I tell you, 2 weeks ago I said the Holy Ghost preached my message that morning, and He did. And then last Sunday, we just had I believe that, both those services are great. But last Sunday it was one of the greatest services I've been in years and years and years. It was just powerful. It was mighty. And so we say, well, there wasn't any preaching because the power fell and the power was there. And that happens sometimes. But we can't get to the place to where we think that when there's no preaching, it's been extraordinary because there's been no preaching, or because the preacher didn't get to preach. Those are special times. But listen, the preaching of the gospel is the power of God. Amen. When a man of God stands behind this sacred desk and preaches and declares the word under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that is the power of God. There is power in the name of Jesus, but there is also power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The preached word of God, declared with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, releases power in people's lives. Amen? So we need to understand that the power, the gospel itself, is the power of God. And listen to me, church. That is why Satan hates the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why Satan hates gospel preachers. And that is why the devil fights the gospel. That is why Satan has worked and has moved the way he has in these last days to move churches to other things, to make other things more important, and to make other things a priority other than the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because, listen, Satan knows that the gospel is the power of God. And he knows, he wouldn't admit it, but the devil knows that he cannot defeat the gospel, the power of the gospel of Jesus. Because the gospel is the power of Almighty God. Can somebody say amen? This is why that we here at Abundant Life Family Church continue to unashamedly preach the full gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why we will continue to preach without fear, without favor, the pure, unadulterated, uncompromised gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God, and the devil cannot defeat the gospel when it's preached under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Any church that makes their foundation something other than the gospel is not going to last. Someone here a few months ago told me that our church was founded on a certain thing. And I said, no, you're wrong about that. Our church is founded on this book. It's founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the foundation of the church. Amen. So that's why we continue to preach the gospel. The devil cannot stop the power of the gospel. Now listen to what I'm going to say here, because you need to get a hold of this. This is a simple statement, but it's so true. The devil cannot stop the power of the gospel, but people can. Well, praise the Lord. That went over real good. Amen. We'll put that in my notes. Didn't go over well. I'll know that next time. People can stop the power of the gospel. I don't know how that can be, Brother Ricky. Well, if they are ashamed of the gospel, or if they are ignorant of the power of the gospel, or if they refuse to believe the gospel, then the power of the gospel becomes ineffective and inoperative in their life. Do you believe that? Because before the gospel can work in your life or mine, the gospel has to be believed and received. So it doesn't matter how much power, and there is power in this gospel, but if somebody rejects that gospel, refuses to believe that gospel, pushes aside that gospel, if someone is ignorant of it and doesn't know what it says, then it doesn't have the power. It won't exercise any power in their life. So, individuals, people can stop the power of the gospel in their life. That's why we don't want you to be ignorant of the Word of God. That's why Paul said that we don't want Satan to get an advantage over us. That's why we cannot be ignorant of his devices. We've got to know what the gospel says, what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. And that's why we still have Sunday school. We have Christian education here on Sunday mornings before church, because we have teachers that are teaching the Word of God from, you know, the little kids. I'm going to tell you, and I go through and I pray in these Sunday school rooms and pray over the kids that are going to be there and those students, that God will open their hearts, that they'll be attentive, that their ears will be open, that the gospel of Jesus Christ that is preached will have an effect upon their heart and upon their life. Those kids, man, that's the thing that will change their life forever, is what they're learning in those classrooms on Sunday morning, what they're learning in that children's church on Sunday morning. They're in their formidable years. And man, we've got to get the power of the gospel of Jesus into those little minds and into those little hearts. The world's got them all weak. The internet's got them all weak. TV's got them. SpongeBob's got them all weak. But bless God, when we've got them, we've got to pour the gospel of Jesus into their hearts and into their lives. Hallelujah. Because the devil can't defeat that. If we can get that gospel in them and they'll believe it, oh my, what an advantage they'll have. Praise God. Because it's the power of God to salvation. So if we refuse to believe the gospel, or we're ignorant of its power, then the power of the gospel becomes ineffective in the lives of those individuals. For example, there's many preachers and churches that never preach. They never preach on the power of God's the power of God to heal the sick. They never preach on that. They never preach on divine healing. They don't believe that it's for us today. Well, when a preacher does that, or if he gets up and preaches that the gifts of the Spirit and healing and tongues and interpretation and those gifts passed away with the apostles, that they're not for the church today, well, that kind of thing's being preached and people are believing that, it hinders the effect of the power of the gospel in that church or in those lives. Some people say, well, you know, we never have anybody healed in our church, or nobody's ever healed in our church, but yet they never preach divine healing. They never have a prayer line. They don't have a bottle of oil behind their pulpit. They never anoint anybody with oil or pray the prayer of faith. And so by doing that, they hinder and they stop the power of the gospel in their lives and in the lives of others. This gospel, this book is alive. The Bible said that Paul said in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so if we take that living Word into our hearts and lives, there's power in that Word to save us. There's power to heal us. There's power to set us free if we'll believe it and receive it into our lives. The devil cannot stop the power of the gospel from working in your life if you'll believe it and receive it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 that His Word, the Word of God, is life to those that find it and health to all their flesh. Are you listening to me? It's a life-giving book. It's a healing book. It's a powerful book. We've got to have it preached. That's why we make that a point. To preach the gospel. We're not coming up with some new gimmick. Well, you know, preaching's out of style. There's so many new things that you need to do. Show a video once in a while. Do that. I'm going to preach as long as there's breath in me. I'm going to preach because the power of God is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. That same thing holds true with those who won't preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues as the initial physical evidence. The church that I mentioned last week or week before of the pastor that said Sunday mornings would be a no Holy Ghost zone. Well, they've closed the door on the Holy Spirit. They won't have to worry about the Holy Spirit being there to embarrass them on Sunday morning or Sunday night. Well, that church probably doesn't have Sunday night church anyway. Praise God. But they won't have to worry about the Holy Spirit when they turn Him out, turn Him away. See, when you fully believe the gospel, when you fully believe and receive this gospel of Jesus Christ, the devil cannot stop you from receiving what is rightfully yours in your salvation package. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And we take that word salvation and we say, well, we know what that is. That's being saved from hell. That's being forgiven of our sins. And that includes that. But do you know your salvation package includes more, much more than initial forgiveness of sins and the born-again experience? I grant you that the born-again experience is the most important part of the salvation package. But that's not all that's in the salvation package. Are you with me tonight? He said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. C.I. Schofield in his Bible notes talks about that, and he says that the words, the Hebrew and Greek words for saved and salvation, the Greek word soteria, the Greek word sozo, for save or salvation, they're words that mean and have the meaning of safety, of preservation, healing, and soundness. So when we talk about salvation, every part of the redemptive work of Christ is included in the salvation package. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace with God was upon Him. And with His stripes we were healed. So everything from salvation, peace of mind, peace in our heart, healing for our bodies, and everything, all the needs that you will ever incur in your life are included in that salvation package. Amen? Praise the Lord. There's more to salvation than just not having to go to hell. I thank God I don't have to go to hell. I praise God. I've got a mansion in glory, and I'm going to go there and live eternally and come back with Jesus and live forever on this earth, a new earth. I thank God for that. That I'll have a glorified body and that I'll never ever die and never ever grow old. I thank God for that. Amen. That's the greatest thing in the world. But there's more to salvation than just missing hell. Can you say amen? We've got an abundant life that Jesus has promised us right now. He said, I'll give you life and more abundantly. There's forgiveness of sin, eternal life, healing and deliverance, peace of mind. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And everything else that you need in this life that has been provided and bought and paid for through the finished work of Jesus Christ on that cross. It's in your salvation package. It's a benefit package that belongs to the child of God, and the devil can't stop you from getting all that's yours if you'll believe it and receive it. Oh, I feel like I'm preaching to myself, but I'm preaching myself happy. The devil cannot stop the power of the gospel from working in your life any more than he could stop the resurrection of Jesus. And that's a fact. Somebody said, well, I don't know if that's true or not. Well, I'll tell you it is true. Because any sinner, any person that is, I don't care who they are, how bound by the powers of darkness they are bound with or what kind of bondage they're bound in. I don't care how low in sin they've gone. I don't care how vile or wicked that their life has been. They may be bound by drugs, alcohol, perversions, sexual perversions, and homosexuality, whatever the case may be. They may be bound by those wicked spirits. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Are you hearing me? I'm going to tell you one thing. When they come to Jesus Christ and they believe the gospel and they place their faith in the Lord Jesus, Satan and demons and all of hell cannot stop the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ from changing their life and making them a new creature in Christ Jesus. Satan cannot stop the power of the gospel from working in the life of a sinner, a backslider. Anybody who will believe the word of God, the power of the gospel will work in their life, and the devil cannot stop it. Can somebody say amen? Oh, hallelujah. That is good news today. So I want to believe the gospel. I'm going to receive the word of God. Stand upon the word of God, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, healing, forgiveness, deliverance, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, whatever you need in your life. The gospel has the power in it. It's the seed of the Word of God. And when you put the seed, I don't understand how seeds work. All I know is you put them in the ground and cover them up. Brother Mark does some gardening. You put the seeds in there, you cover them up, you give them some water and some sunshine, and something miraculous takes place, and plants grow. Isn't that right? And that's the way the seed is of the Word, the seed of God's gospel, the Word of God. When it's planted in our heart, when it's planted in our soul, and it's watered with our praise, and it's watered with our faith, and it's watered with our prayers, It will produce something in our life. When it's planted, when it's sown, it'll bring forth something in our life. Can you say amen? It is life. It's life to those that find it. And the devil can't stop the power of the gospel from working. Anybody, it'll work for anybody who will believe. Whosoever will believe, it'll work for them and in their life. Do you believe it? Amen. Praise God. Musicians, let's come tonight. Praise God. Everybody stand with me. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the devil can't penetrate the blood. The devil can't be like God. No way. The devil can't resist the name of Jesus. And the devil cannot stop the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's powerful. Amen. And I think I mentioned this morning in closing that the devil cannot stay where he is not welcome. Amen. Is that right? And I wonder if that's the problem so many times with us as Christians, that we put the welcome mat out for the devil and say, okay, here I am. There's nothing that I can do. You know that what is to be will be. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. There's nothing we can do about it. I'm ready for whatever comes my way. And we just lay out the welcome mat and we open up the door to the enemy and say, just whatever. And anything that comes our way, we say, well, this must be God's will for my life. Listen to me, church. Everything that comes into your life is not from God or the will of God. Satan is out there. And if Satan can make you believe that, yeah, this is what God has for you, and you sign for the package, you sign for the package and take it in and open it up and find out he's delivered you a box of rattlesnakes. If you know it's a package that's not from God, don't sign for it. Don't receive it. Close the door on it and say, no. I refuse to give place to the devil. Amen. It's a spirit. That's why it's called a fight of faith. It's a fight. But it's a good fight. It's a good fight of faith. A good fight's the one you win. A good fight. I never was in a fight where I got up, both my eyes beat shut, and my lip bleeding, and my ear tore off, and I said, boy, that's a good fight. Well, no, it wasn't a good fight. A good fight's the one where you've won the thing. You're standing there, the victor. The enemy's laying in the dust. That's the good fight. That's the fight that the child of God is to wage against the enemy. It's a good fight of faith. Faith in the gospel of Jesus always overcomes, always wins the victory. Always wins the victory. If you won't quit, you stand your ground. There's victory. Amen. Woo, they're going to sing something. Let's come around the altar before.